Something to do with David. You can nail half of the Old Testament something to do with David. First Samuel chapter 17, we read about a man who came and defied the armies of Israel. And a man stood up and said, nobody's going to come fight me. Nobody's man enough. Nobody's strong enough. I'm going to stand up here and defy the armies of Israel. I'm going to stand up here and defy the armies that said their God fought for them. I'm going to stand up here and defy their faith. I'm going to stand up here and defy everything that they thought they believed in. Because fear is power. Fear is power. How many of you were terrified of your parents because they whooped you so hard? Mine ain't here. I can raise my hand without getting another one. I always had a healthy respect for my parents because they whooped us. Ooh. But if that was the only reason I respected my parents when I turned 18, we would have had a different relationship. Does that make sense? If the only reason that we respect and fear our parents is because of the power they held or hold over us, then that relationship can potentially change drastically whenever that power is no longer held. Most parents, and my parents included, had a different type of fear. It's the fear that we're supposed to have for God, and that fear is reverence. And while we yet feared what they would do, we respected them and we loved them because at the end of the day, after we got through crying, after we slept on it, we knew that we deserved that whooping. Right? Or I did. You probably did too. We knew that we deserved that whooping. We knew that it, and looking back, we know that we probably deserved a lot more. Emily came home from a retreat. I don't remember exactly how it went. She came home with a t-shirt on. And I love the t-shirt, and I think they got their scripture out of Daniel. But the t-shirt says, fear says, what if? Faith says, even if. And that's powerful. Most of our life, we go through fearing situations, fearing circumstances, fearing people. Fearing people's judgment, that's a big one. Woo, that's a big one. Fearing what people are going to say, fearing what people are going to do, fearing what people are going to think. We're scared to absolute death of most things in this world. We're scared of what's going to happen if we do this. We're scared of what people are going to think if we profess Christ. We're scared of how people are going to judge us on social media if we put up that we got baptized today. We're scared of how our friends are going to see us if we become a Bible thumper. And way too many times we're scared of how our life is going to turn out if we live for God. Because we don't know what's coming. We have no idea. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 6 that God cannot lie. He cannot lie. Which means the things that we find in this Bible are absolute truth. You know what God says? He says, if you live godly, you may at some point suffer persecution. Is that how yours reads? He said, if you live godly, you shall suffer persecution. You shall suffer for my name's sake. It's going to happen. It's coming. Get ready for it. He said, in order for us to live for him, if we're going to be his disciple, that we have to deny ourselves. Take up our cross. Anybody ever carried a cross before? How about a cross tie? A 6x6 creosote cross tie. Y'all ever pick one of them up? Brother Doug, is it heavy? Not only is it heavy, it'll leave scars all over you where that creosote touches you. It's awful. It's terrible. Jesus didn't say pick up your popsicle stick cross and follow me. Jesus didn't say deny yourself and just come on with me. There is work involved with following God. There is work involved with being a believer. There is work involved if we are going to collect on these promises that God has. There is always work involved. The Bible says that we are to crucify the flesh. We mentioned this morning in Sunday school, it's a violent thing. It's something that is substantial. It's something that's big. It's something that is of substance. In order for us to crucify the flesh, it requires action. In order for us to carry our cross, in order for us to take up our cross and follow after Jesus, it requires something of us. And we are terrified of things that require something of us. The reason we don't volunteer for things is because it requires things of us. And you know what we already give? We already give everything we have to this world. Stop me if I'm saying something that's wrong. We give everything that we have to this world in sports, in TV, in cell phones, in kids, in hobbies, in everything that we have to do outside of church. And that leaves us very little to give to God. And therein lies a problem. Because God said to give Him the first fruits. God said to prioritize Him first. Joshua said, choose this day who you will serve. If we're going to serve God, then we can't serve man first. We have to choose God first. We have to prioritize God first. We have to live for God first. We have to live with God first. So many times in our life, we allow the fear of, Well, I don't know what's going to happen. We allow the fear of, well, I don't know what's coming. We allow the fear of, well, what are people going to think of me? What are people going to say of me? We allow all of that to get in the way of our service to God. We're at the end of the day. I taught y'all a new word here a while back. Do y'all remember it?
Well, people are going to talk about me. Whoop-de-doo. Whoop-de-doo.
People are going to talk about me, so... People are going to think bad of me if I all of a sudden start cutting the grass at the church. What if somebody drives by and sees me? So? What if somebody sees me in a picture that the church puts on a Facebook page? Maybe they can be a blessing. Maybe that can be a good thing. Fear says, what if?
God said, even if.
This man in 1 Samuel 17 stood up and he said, no man can stand before me. He cried out in verse number 8. He said, why are you come to set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine? Ye servants of Saul, choose a man for you and let him come down to me. And the Philistine said in verse number 10, he said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. And Saul and all Israel heard the words of the Philistine, and they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Because all of a sudden there was resistance. Whenever we meet resistance, you know what that does? What happens if you go lift weights and there's no resistance? Some of you in here lift weights. If you lift weights and you go to bench press and there's no resistance, you know what that is? You have nothing in your hands. Right here, there's no resistance. None. Zero. How much stronger are you going to get if you lift weights, if you work out with zero resistance? Wasting your time. The more resistance you add, the more weight that you add, the more it hurts. But the stronger you get, right? Logically. As Christians, the more resistance that we fight through, the more resistance that we overcome, the more times that we use our faith, that we work out our faith, the stronger as a Christian we become. But we don't want that. We want to run from it. We want to say, I don't want nothing to do with serving in the church because that's too hard. I don't bless you. I don't want to teach Sunday school because that's too hard. That's going to make me be here on time, so I don't want to teach Sunday school, bless you. I don't want to teach vacation Bible school because that means I'm going to have to be here all 4 days. And that is just terrible. We'll sign up for everything else but not church. I don't want to sign up for the mowing list because that means for a whole month I'm going to have to cut the grass. That should be an honor. I don't want to sign up for the cleaning list because, you know, this is a big church and I'm not getting paid for it. If only you knew what you got paid for it. We don't want to serve God. We want to serve everything else and everybody else. Does anybody know why? It's in our nature. It's in our nature to run from the things of God. It's in our nature to fear the things of God. It's in our nature to run after anything else but Him. It was in Israel's nature to stand before this giant, to stand before this defiance of Israel and say, I'm not going to fight him. I want to read you something that popped up on a devotion that I read. And it showed up this week. It said, don't give up. Now I want to read this to you. It says, numerous passages in the Bible connect the number 40 to periods of trial and testing and hardship. We're going to zero in on this number that gets a lot less attention, and that's the number that comes after 40. We're going to see how the number 41 represents the beacon of hope postponed dreams and promised lands. Amid the troubles of everyday life, it's almost like the number 41 is shouting, I'm next. As Noah built the ark, it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. But on day 41, the rain stopped. Moses committed murder and hid in the desert for 40 years. But year 41 came and God gave Moses a second chance. Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And in year 41 came and a new generation entered into the promised land. For 40 days, Goliath bullied Israel, begging someone to come fight for him. And on day 41, David stepped forward. We're going to go through things in our life that are absolutely horrendous, that are challenging. We're going to meet resistance that we don't think we can make it through. But day 41 is coming. You know what all of these instances had in common? David, Moses, and the generation of Israel that entered into the promised land, what did they have in common? One word, starts with an F, ends in eighth. They all had faith. They all had faith that was more powerful than the fear that they had. They all had faith that was more powerful than the enemy. They all had faith that got them through the 40 years. They had the faith that got them through the 40 days. They had the faith to get to day 41. And David stood up. Well, let's go ahead and read that. I don't want to miss that. David said in verse 29, is there not a cause? I have that underlined in my Bible. Y'all? Look at these kids. They're in everyone's family. And they're going to need God. They're going to need someone to show them God. They're going to need someone to teach them God. They're going to need someone to show them Christ. They're going to need someone to raise them, to disciple them. They're going to need someone to live God before them, to live godly. They're going to need someone to stand up and say, is there not a cause for us to grow? Is there not a cause for us to press on? Is there not a cause for us to persevere? Is there not a cause for us to fight the giant before us? Emily and I were talking a couple of weeks ago, and Brother Roy mentioned it this afternoon. He said, you can sit at the crossroads of Pine, and in 15 minutes, you can be at 30 or 40 different churches, Baptist churches. But you look at those churches compared to years ago. Fear, unfaithfulness, a lack of zeal. Eventually, the faithful few die out unless there's a new faithful few to take over. As Israel wandered in the wilderness, those that had no faith, those that told Moses, they said, we will not. There's giants in the land. You know what happened to all of those that had no faith in God? They never saw the promised land. They never saw it. Joshua, Caleb, they said, we can take them. They survived. You know who God took into the promised land? All the kids. All those that were 20 years and under, all those who were young, all those who had not yet found the place in their heart to fear the world more than God. As Christians today, is there not a cause for us to be more faithful? Is there not a cause for us to read God's Word? Is there not a cause for us to, Miss Jan, I really appreciate you playing the one or two instrumentals that you did. I say that because it didn't sound like we were worshiping the way that I know that we have in the past. And sometimes I don't sing like I should, but is there not a cause to worship? Is there not a cause to sing? The man stood up in front of a singing school. I will never forget it. I was sitting right up here where y'all are sitting, the second pew back. My brothers were sitting next to me. We had just got old enough to start leading songs, and so we wanted to go to the singing school. And the preacher stood up and said, "Why do you sing?" He stood there. Nobody answered. This was one in quiet type churches. He stood there. Nobody answered him. He said, "Why do you sing? We're not moving forward until somebody can answer me this question. Why do you sing?" So a man stood up. He didn't stand up. He raised his hand. He said, "We worship God." He said, "No, you don't." Preacher did. Everybody's eyes got real big. He said, in so many churches today, we sing to be heard. We sing so that people don't look at us and say, "Well, he's not singing." Because if we saw God the way that we need to see God, we would sing and wouldn't nobody be able to hold us back. Because if we really sang to worship and praise God, Lord have mercy, we would sing. And he said, "Since it's a singing school, I'm not going to ask you why you don't pray." Then he got into singing. Is there not a cause to worship and praise God? Because you give it time. And these kids who sit beside parents that don't sing, and sit beside grandparents that don't sing, and sit beside siblings that hum along, you give it a couple of years, it's going to dwindle away. There's a place in just north of Alexandria. I don't remember the name of the town. Little old bitty place. Squirrel hunting capital of the world. Okay? And the night before opening day of squirrel season, usually around the 1st of October, they drive out in the middle of Kasachi National Forest. And there's a big open area, probably 40 or 50 acres. And they set hay bales everywhere. And that night, everybody, you know, stays up all night on one side of the field. And it's alcohol-free because it's a national forest. You're not supposed to have alcohol. And they stay up all night, and everybody's talking and then just cutting up and getting together. They set all them hay bales on fire because it's usually pretty chilly that time of year. And you look out across that field, and there's hay bales everywhere, big old round bales on fire. That's everybody's bonfire. And they'll cook, and they'll have a good time, sing songs, bring guitars and whatnot. And then come the crack of daylight, everybody heads off in a different direction. It sounds like World War III, just shooting squirrels like you wouldn't believe. Then about dinner time, when everybody starts making their way back, you walk out to that same pasture and you look across it. You know how many hay bales you see ablaze? None. They all started smoldering, and you know why? Nobody was there to fan them. Nobody was there throwing a log on top of them so they would keep burning. Big old hay bales. And because nobody took care of them, because nobody cared, because everybody went off hunting, the hay bales was the last thing on our mind, and everybody went off hunting. We came back, and there it was, just a big old pile of ashes with a little bit of smoke coming out of the middle of it, just smoldering. Nothing there. And if you can wrap your mind around it, that is a picture of churches in America today. People go out in the world. We will leave and go out them double doors out front, and we will go about our business, and so many of us will not think of anything to do with God until it comes about an hour before church time Wednesday night. And that is an absolute shame that we find ourselves in that position. I find myself there sometimes. That I go all day. That I go 2 days. That I go from church service to church service without breaking the spine of my back. That we can go from service to service without praying. Try going that long without eating. I'm not going to try. I challenge you to try. Try to go that long without eating.
We're going to come across things in our life that are going to be challenging. We're going to come across things in our life that are going to be resistant to our spirituality. You may be going through them right now. I know our church has went through. But if we have more faith than we do fear. Fear says, what if? What if? David could have stood up before that giant and said, what if that giant lops my head off? Who's going to take care of the sheep? What if that giant lops my head off and then goes down there after my brothers? What then? What if that giant just maims me and I'm a vegetable for the rest of my life? All of this could have been going through David's head. David said, verse 32, let no man's heart fail him because of him. Thy servant will go and fight this Philistine. David said, I'll go. Fear says, what if? Faith says, even if. Faith of the three Hebrew children said, Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer you. Our God will deliver us. Daniel said, O king, live forever. My God, whom I continually serve, had delivered me out of the mouth of these lions. Can we say that we serve a God continually? Can we say that we worship and we praise a God continually? The same God that promises that day 41 will come. The same God that promises that a better life will come. The same life that told Jeremiah, he said, tell my people that I have plans to prosper them. Tell my people that I have plans to grow them. Tell my people that I have plans for them if they will have but faith in me. If they will obey me. If they will live for me. Forty days. Jesus was fasting in the desert. 40 days. He was alone. He was hungry. He was weak. And Satan came before him and said, Jesus, I'm going to take care of you. Jesus, I've got you at your absolute most vulnerable. Jesus, I'm going to tempt you with the same three things that I tempt everybody with. Lust of flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Jesus fought him with the word of God. Day 41 came and Jesus met resistance. Jesus met Satan. He pushed him back. He resisted. He whooped evil using God's word. Today, if you're going through something that is crazy and people don't understand, use God's word. Our church is going through crazy things that people don't understand. Look at God's word. Faith is stronger than fear. God is stronger than evil. We just have to believe Him. We have to follow Him. We have to obey Him. We have to faithfully serve Him, like Daniel said, continually. We can't go service to service without eating physically. We can't go service to service without eating spiritually. As individuals, as families, and as a church, we have to grow around each other, around the gospel. And we can only do that by pressing on, by looking for that day 41. Standing before Goliath, David said, my God, That's whose power I come to you in. I come to you in the power of the God of Israel, and He will deliver you into my hand. Now, I know that it seems very, for lack of a better term, I'm going to say weird. It would seem weird for you to look at something that is giving you fits and say, in the name of Jesus. That would look weird to you, wouldn't it? David called out Goliath and said, in the name of the God of Israel, I'm going to get you. God is going to deliver you into my hand. Moses stood before the people and said, it is God. David stood before the people and said, it is God. Paul stood before the people. Peter stood before the people. And they said, it is God. I pray that we can find our way back to that God. I pray that we can find our faith back in that God. Ultimately, I pray that we can find our content, that we can find our faith continually placed in that God. Knowing the fear is going to say what if, faith says even if. And whatever comes after don't matter. Well, we have a verse for song. We're going to ask for